Welcome to another episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, focused on helping consumer product companies, inventors, and entrepreneurs harvest the growth potential of their product businesses by teaching cutting-edge marketing strategies and interviewing successful marketers, as well as product marketing experts that share their stories to inspire you to achieve hypergrowth for your own business. I'm your host, John LeClair, founder and CEO of Harvest Growth. And I believe that if you want to make your product the next household name, you just need to follow the right plan, and that even the best products struggle to succeed when they step away from proven strategies that work. And I believe that you can grow profitably, which means you don't need to be a Fortune 500 company or have access to venture capital in order to grow your business. And if you'd like to learn more about what we call the perfect launch process for marketing products, check out harvestgrowth.com. And if you still have questions on how you can implement this process for your business, you'll see a link on our homepage to set up a free consultation with one of our product launch specialists.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Inventors Launchpad Network. I am Carmen Danisco, your host for today's show of the Launchpad. And with me, I have a gentleman I've known for, I'd say, many years. And, you know, we've been trying to get him on the show. He travels a lot. He's always out. He's helping, you know, brands. He's helping products. He's helping people, inventors, to help get their products out there. He's a really great guy. His name is John LeClair from Harvest Growth. And it's going to be a lot of fun today because he has so much in-depth knowledge on what to do with your product when you want to present it that we're going to have some fun. So, hey, John, you over there? Let's get you going, man.
How's it going, Carmine? Great to hear from you. It's been a long time. I'm so glad we can reconnect again.
Yeah, man, it's been so long and I'm awesomely happy to have you on. I think what you do and what you've been doing, you're not just some guy who was and nothing wrong with a plumber and decided to do what you do, you know, last year. You know, you've been doing this right. A long time. You know what you're doing and nothing wrong with plumbers. I mean, plumbers are great, but you know, you're such a professional at what you do that does it make it sometimes easier when somebody comes to you and we'll get into what you do. And you know, when somebody comes to you, is it like, yeah, we can help you? You're like, you don't even have a question, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, you know, we've been in this business so long. I call it, you know, the business of launching new products in various different fashions. And we'll get into exactly what we do today. We've done it over many, many forms, big companies, small companies, et cetera, for almost 20 years I've been doing this. And so now it's fun. It's, you know, as people, inventors, entrepreneurs come to us, we know what products, you know, have a good chance of working, which ones don't, what changes need to be made. And a lot of it just becomes intuitive after being in the business for so many years, as you know very well, Carmine.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it makes it, I want to say, fun, because really when the people walk in your door, you're like, yeah, we can help these guys. And it's not like a question or it's not a worry. And you know, you can move them forward in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you just a little bit of my background. I know we'll get into this as we get through the story, but it kind of makes sense with what you're talking about. Just, you know, I love working with inventors and entrepreneurs. I've had a passion since I was a young kid of wanting to be an inventor until I realized that I'm not an engineer. I don't design products. I'm not good at that. That part I don't enjoy. So I finally realized, I mean, 20 years ago now, right, that the side of it that I really enjoy is bringing products to market. It's a different skill set. Inventors, entrepreneurs, their mindset is about creation of something new, identifying problems that need to be solved. And what we do is help them get from that point is, okay, now how do we introduce this to the masses? And it certainly is a process. And we'll go over the process that we use as we get through this interview. But it's, if you follow that right process, we know we can help. We know we can help them bring their products to market in a very successful way. And you know, the big difference I would say in the way I like to run my company, and really the reason I founded it now, about 13 years ago, that this specific company I founded was to help entrepreneurs and inventors launch their products without having to get a license deal. Now, license deals are great. There's a lot of companies out there that broker licenses. And if you just want to invent and pass it on, that's perfect, right? That's a great avenue. But for our clients, the ones that choose to work with us, they want to own the product. They want to own the business. They're just missing a piece of understanding what to do next, right? So we help them to wade through the waters of bringing a product to market, avoid the missteps and mistakes and confusion that's so easy to get mired down in. So that's why I started this company many years ago, and that's really what we've been doing ever since.
Yeah, and it's funny, some of the wording that you use, I can relate to, because I love that you say you have a process, because you know, it's not like, hey, this is the first time we're doing this. And over time, you've created this process that you can just drop people in wherever they are, what phase they're in, and you can keep, you know, hit the ground running. It's not like, you know, you're reinventing the wheel when they walk in your office.
You got it. You got it. And it took a long time. It's not a, it's not an easy process, I think, to come up with. A little bit of my background. So I used to be a public accountant, believe it or not. I carry the famous moniker of being the only infomercial producer and product launch expert that is a former CPA, I think. So I say that somebody will call me wrong. I'm sure there's somebody else out there, but that's where I started. So I was a CPA. I realized, hey, that's not really for me long-term. I like to create, right? And it was, you know, it's a great career for those that do it, but not for me. So I transitioned over into business school. I got my MBA at the University of Chicago many years ago. And my goal was, okay, now I want to learn how to create, to launch products, to invent, to market, et cetera. And so I took all the courses I could in new product development, new product marketing, et cetera. It goes down the list. And what I found at the time was most of the studies that had been done, all the work that had been done by academics was really around big companies, right? So how do big companies bring products to market, which is great. And I actually used that as my experience when I went and did new product work at Kraft Foods for many years. And it was a great learning experience. But what I realized at the end of that is if I don't have $2, 3, 4 million behind me, at that point, I didn't know what to do, right? And most inventors, entrepreneurs don't have that, or even if they do, really shouldn't spend that very quickly. You want to get their product proven out. So from there, I left Kraft and went to work for a company called Orange Glow International, which a lot of people haven't heard of. I see you nodding. You know the company, but it's the OxiClean company, right? So everybody knows OxiClean as a brand, but the company was called Orange Glow. But there was a wonderful opportunity to now work with the founders who had literally started the business in a garage, grew it to an amazing success, eventually sold the business off for $325 million. The Apple family, great, great family. And so it was fun to really work at their feet, you know, alongside them, really, the people that had launched it from the ground up and now launching new products with bigger budgets than a lot of inventors have by that point. But still, it's understanding it's all started in the garage. It's possible for everybody. So I started, after that company was sold off, is when I started Harvest Growth, my current company. And we now help inventors, and we've developed this system over the last 13 years or so, similar to what we used to do at Orange Glow OxiClean, but now with smaller budgets, the ability for almost anybody to be able to do this, but through a process that's now been proven over hundreds of launches to be very effective.
Wow. I mean, it's amazing when I think back to those days with Orange Glow and OxiClean. You guys were, infomercials were out, but when you guys hit the market with some of those commercials, they were very, very cutting edge, as I recall.
They were. So there was a couple of differences with Orange Glow OxiClean back in the day. One, of course, was Billy Mays. You know, may he rest in peace. What a great man he was. And I know he lived not too far from you, Carmine, for much of his life. He was a great, great man. And I still think one of the reasons that he was so successful and iconic as a pitchman is because he was genuine. And that came through. You could tell he was energetic. He yelled. He was, kind of seemed very, very energetic in his presentations, but you knew he believed in the products. So that's part of the success story, truly, is Billy Mays behind it. But part of it too was how we were able to parlay the success on TV into retail. That's really what grew the brand. Before that, all the as seen on TV type products for a decade prior to that were big successes, but did okay in retail. But really, OxiClean was the first success to now take it. Okay, now we've got this huge engine that drives amazing awareness. How do we now use that to push retail sales? And of course, the rest is history with the OxiClean for many years after that.
Yeah, and we'll get into some of the process. What I loved what you guys did was that as you drove to retail, you constantly created new products that you could sell on the infomercial so that you could still make money on infomercials, but you were still driving the brand name to retail. So when the customers walked into retail, they still recognized the name.
Yeah.
So both processes, the infomercial and retail, were happy.
Yeah, yeah. That's very astute of you, actually, to recognize that. A lot of people don't, they think that the infomercial started and kept on going the same with Billy Mays for years. But really, as you said, once you get into retail and everybody knows you're in every Walmart in America, every Target, every grocery store, they're not going to buy that same product on TV anymore. So what we used to be able to sell was a 2.5 pound tub for $40 back in the day on TV. Once you get to Walmart, that price goes way down, of course, right? And so that product, it changed, right? We still make good margin on it, et cetera. But you're right. You have to on TV and now digital, right? So now what used to be only TV for many, many years, now you can do something similar on digital platforms, Facebook and Instagram, still through the power of video. And that coincides with TV. And sometimes it's just digital and that can work very well too to really drive awareness, et cetera. But it's got to be innovation. If you're showing something, a product, a demonstration, whatever it might be, and it's not new and different, people stop paying attention. Or they assume, that's cool, but I'll go buy it in retail or whatever. And now all of a sudden your advertising is no longer paying for itself because you're not getting what we used to say, the phones to ring, right? Now it's surprisingly enough, people still phone in orders, right? But most of it's, of course, over the web and even over Facebook and Instagram through retargeting, et cetera, and other means.
Yeah. No, it's awesome, man. And just on a side note, I met Billy Mays a couple of times, and I always, when I first met him, I expected him to be like, "Hey," but he was like such a quiet, his persona on camera was a little different. He wasn't faking or anything, but it was just, I thought he would just be louder and crazier, but he's just a great guy.
Yeah, he's super nice and not soft-spoken, but not the same yelling that you see. And being on set with him, it gives you a total different sound. We probably did 20, 25 videos together or so. And once those cameras come on, action is yelled, he changes his persona. It's still the same person, right? But it's just, he's projecting his voice, right? And getting your attention. That's one of the things that made him so lovable and it really made it work so well.
Yeah, awesome, man. So as you know, I know you've been listening to the podcast for a while. Our listening base is mostly inventors, entrepreneurs. Some of them are successful. They're selling. Some of them are in different phases of their products as entrepreneurs and things like that. So how does what you do, I don't want them to think that, man, I can't do that. Why is he even on the show? Because I love the way you have, I don't want to say packages, you're able to really fit what you do into almost any budget, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I'm a big believer in education. So I like to be on podcasts. So thank you so much for allowing me to be on your show, Carmine. I love being in front of your audience and of course, reconnecting with you again after so many years. So this is great. And it's what I love to do is to educate. And a lot of the work I do is free. We do a lot of blog posts and articles and video trainings and things like that we want to get the word out and help people to launch products. And, some people have a very limited budget and they want to do it on their own. And we want to help them at least get as far as they can, right, through instruction. And I'll tell you, a kind of a system we use that can be helpful for that. For others that need a little bit more help and have a little bit of budget to do it, it doesn't have to cost what it used to be. Like, years ago, if you did a TV launch, even 20 years ago, it would cost at least $100,000, $200,000 and on up, right? Very, very expensive to get involved. Now with the change in the digital landscape, it's still, there's a cost to it, but it's significantly lower cost to be able to get started. So a lot of our clients, for example, will start with advertising on Facebook and Instagram. We'll do a simpler video than we might do for national TV. And then prove out the concept. But in the meantime, it's not just a test, right? We're also getting revenue in. They use that to then fund a bigger launch later on, potentially going to TV, other platforms, et cetera. So starting small, but in that test, really bringing in revenue. And so let me teach you, your audience, one kind of a quick overview of what we call the perfect launch process. So it's this process that we've developed over the last 13 years and really before that with my education and big company background, et cetera. But it's kind of a combination or culmination of all that I've learned and all that I've done and all the many launches we've done over the years. Again, we call it the perfect launch approach because it's something that can be dropped in on almost any consumer product, which is really what we do. We're not really a business-to-business marketer, but we sell consumer products, right? But it could be a $10 item. It could be a $1,000 item. And almost any category, it's a process that works for everybody. So it's really three key steps. So we call it prepare, produce, and then profit. So I'll go over it kind of quickly today, and we've got more information on our website at harvestgrowth.com and other, we can feel free to call us anytime at our office. There's a link on our website. They can go in and meet with one of our product launch specialists to get a lot more detail, specific advice. But the preparation part is one that I view as maybe the most important and often left out, especially with new inventors, new entrepreneurs that think they just have to either get to market or go slowly, right? So some get stuck in the patenting process, which is important, right? So on many categories, it's good to have a patent, but you don't want to spend all your money and then be stuck and not be able to market the product. So this other piece of what we call preparation is it's essentially testing. So a big part of it is market research. So we do a specific way of surveying consumers. There's a battery of questions that we ask to understand how likely are they to purchase the product? What should we price it at? What color should it be? Things like that, really just to prove out the concept. And then also something about features and benefits. And I know you've talked about this with some of your other guests over the years, but it's features are essentially the facts of a product, right? Color, size, descriptions, et cetera. Benefits is how it helps you, right? So it's the benefit language that's used. So getting both of those and understanding each product, what's most important through research. And what we find is, you know, back in my Kraft Foods days, we would spend six figures, often $200,000 or more on market research. Crazy, right? So it's, you know, inventors can't or shouldn't do that, right? Even if you have unlimited pocketbooks, there's no need anymore to do that. Again, big companies are just different. But for a small company, it can be almost free. You know, it's in the hundreds of dollars kind of thing to do it right. One of these types of surveys on your own, right? To ask these questions and get these answers. But what you do is now you avoid tens of thousands of dollars in mistakes, right? So if you go to market the wrong way, you adjust, you tweak, you modify, it's just money to that, right? There's a cost to that. So it's getting that testing done up front is such a crucial step. The other piece of it, I'd say, so as market research, we talk to consumers. The other piece of it is now looking at the competition. So I had an old boss many years ago, I used to work with it. She used a phrase that I've loved and used many times called borrow with pride, right? So I tell this to my employees and with new clients we work with. So this is not about copying your competition, right? But it's about getting learnings in two ways, from their wins and their losses, right? So we learn if they're doing something right, it's okay to get some learns, like, hey, this is the way they talk about their product. Like, okay, that's something I hadn't thought about. Let me, you know, not copy that, but learn from that. And maybe this is a type of feature or benefit that I should talk about in my messaging. But then also look for losses or what I call opportunities. So if there's something either they're not talking about or their product doesn't include that makes what makes your product better when you take it to market, look for that in this competitive analysis. And then beyond that, you know, kind of, I would say, high level analysis of competitors through Google searches, through viewing their products on Amazon, looking at their website, their retail packaging, et cetera. Beyond that, there's a lot of tools that we use where we can now analyze, okay, what are they using as keyword tools, right? So what keywords are they using on Google, on Amazon? So behind the scenes stuff that with some software tools we have access to, we know exactly some of this quote unquote secrets that they're doing, and we can, again, learn from those. So those are the two components of prepare, I'd say, is the consumer research and then the category review or analysis that gets out there. And then the next step is,
Before you go to the next step, this is awesome. I'm like writing all this down. A lot of times, and I'm glad to do this, a lot of our inventors and myself sometimes, I'm kind of scared to ask people if they like my product or if they like the color, if they like things, because I don't want negative feedback. But what you're saying is leave it up to someone else probably if I'm too emotionally attached to it, right?
Absolutely. I love that you brought that up. Thank you. Because what happens oftentimes is we get that reaction in a survey, for example, that either people hate the product or don't like it in its current form. So there's two ways to take that answer. Well, three, I guess. One is you could ignore it, right? Which we see happen sometimes. You're so emotionally involved and attached to your product, you just ignore any feedback that comes in. Don't take that road, right? But the two right ways to approach it. One is to, okay, maybe I should stop and look for another product, right? If the feedback is bad enough, like maybe it's not as unique as I thought, like, hey, I love this product, but there's something already out there that's just as good or better. And that's, you know, you'd rather learn that up front and move on to something else that's going to be your big home run, as opposed to pushing something that's going to, you know, maybe never work or never, you know, to the extent that you'd hope it to. But the second way is often missed. The second way is to adjust, right? So if you've got a product and you get some feedback, hey, that the response is low, what we call purchase intent score is low, you can change it, right? So what do you change in your messaging? Maybe your pricing, maybe add some features that will bring more important benefits to solve a different problem. So it's getting those learnings and adapting.
I like that. You can make changes. It gives you the ability before you go spend a lot of money and go to market, you're changing for what the public or your target market wants.
Absolutely. Yeah. So adjust and optimize throughout the process. And this is something that it comes not just to the product, but to your marketing. So down the road, as you actually start to bring this to market, the same thing happens. You may see some poor or lower than expected results early on, and that's okay. Some of the biggest home runs that we've worked with, the first few weeks or even months sometimes, are struggling, right? They're not making money because we're testing, tweaking, optimizing until you turn that corner. So sometimes it's not just the product, but the way you talk about it. It's the messaging, it's the pricing, it's really the marketing approach that you take. The nice thing is once you dial that in, once you get it optimized, now you can grow it and scale it very quickly. And it's predictable and scalable are the words we like to use, right? So you get that dialed in, now you can just keep doing more and more behind, you know, marketing the same channels with the same messaging to the same platform, but in a bigger way. And that's really how you grow your business.
Cool. Yeah. And what I like about it is because you have the experience, you know, you're kind of not war- you're kind of warning or letting the customer know how it's going to go. You're going to be like, listen, we're going to start here. And yeah, we're not going to have a lot of sales till we launch, till we do this, till we make these tweaks, till we change it. You know, because a lot of people are like, as soon as you put it out there, like, you know, I didn't make $1 million last week, you know, and they want to give up. But the way that you're explaining it, you know, have a process, you're letting them know, hey, listen, you know, this is how it works, you know. And I think that really helps people be more relaxed and calm and expect the unexpected kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that kind of takes me into the next step of our process. So after that, for the preparation piece, now it's time to what we call produce, which really means, okay, now we've got to produce our marketing materials, right? So for us, oftentimes that's video. Video marketing is still the most efficient and powerful form of marketing that's out there for almost every product category. So we produce and we do a lot of this in-house. We've been doing it for many years, you know, national TV ads, but we do a lot of digital Facebook, Instagram, website videos as well. So it's about producing that, but taking your learnings from this first step, this market research, not just on the product, but on the messaging, right? So how do we script the right video or videos, right? Because you're going to do different formats typically for Facebook and Instagram and all this kind of stuff, making sure that you've got the right approach. So producing the video and then also producing the ads themselves, right? So on TV, the video is kind of it, right? So you put it up on TV, it's the commercial, that's what you get. And that's, you're driving people to your website. Of course, you've got messaging copy on the website, et cetera. In a Facebook or Instagram ad, you've got the video. And many times, you know, even in the most successful campaigns, people may watch 3, 4, 5 seconds of the video and then click. If you get their attention, you get to the website, that's okay. They can watch the rest of the video once they get to the site or read copy that's, you know, similar to what we're saying. But there's another piece to it. So it's called ad copy, right? So above and below, if you've, you know, if you're, for those of your listeners that have been on Facebook and Instagram, most of them, I assume, is you look at the copy, the written copy above and below these sponsored videos. So it's a quick sentence, often a testimonial or a quick feature and benefit. And it's identifying those. And it's amazing how the same video can have a different sentence above it and completely different results. So it's getting that messaging just right, dialed in. But again, doing it from your learnings that you got in stage one, that preparation phase, your research, understanding your audience, it makes that process much easier. And then getting to the website, whether it's from TV or from digital platforms like Facebook or Instagram, making sure that those copy points are also included on the website as well. So it's making it consistent throughout, finding out what your market, your target market cares about, and then talking to them in the right way. And the rest is a lot easier. So the last step is the easiest, is profit, right? So we call it the easiest, but it's, you know, once you've dialed everything in the first two stages, now it's just about repeating and scaling, right? So it's about, okay, now I've got this working. Now I just scale up my spend. So for example, we start off with maybe $500 a week and the first spend test on Facebook and Instagram, for example, right? And if that works, we're generating 2, 3, 4 times that in revenue. Great. Pour some of that back into the business, scale it up, and it becomes a repeatable business. The interesting thing about this process is if you start to hit a snag or your growth starts to be stalled at some certain point, you can go back through this process again. Okay, now it's about, okay, I've got my marketing, it's stopping working after a year or 2 years, whatever it might be. Let me go through again the same process, prepare, produce, profit, right? So research again, okay, what more learnings can I get to maybe target a secondary audience and what do they want to hear and what's the messaging they want to get, and then adjust the marketing messaging accordingly as we target them. So it's going through that process over and over and over again in a repeated fashion is how to best grow your business for the long term.
And that's kind of what you've done with all of these brands, all of these products. You know, if people go out to harvestgrowth.com, they'll see the product that you work with. You know, you've built them over time. I mean, you didn't take was one product. You took the product, you ran it through this process. As it slowed down, you went back, you ran another or updated it, or it was a different version.
Yep.
And that's why having somebody like you to bolt on with that experience. It's not just about making a video, guys. All my listeners out there, it's not just about making video. It's so much more to it, right? I mean, you're bolting on so many things, but it's not scary or it's not something that you should shy away from. You just need to have the right process.
Exactly. And there's really three you can change beyond. So sometimes it's creating a whole new video. Sometimes it's, like you said, bringing out an additional product or, you know, the deluxe version or the newer, you know, new and improved. But it's not always that. Sometimes it's really pulling one of these other three levers. And there's really, it's the offer, it's the audience, or the message. So those three levers you can pull. You can now, after a year, things have stalled out. Well, we can change the offer. Maybe we decrease the price. Now we give free shipping, or now we buy 2, get 1 free, or add in something with it, or potentially change the product as well, right? So that's the offer you can change. the off or the audience rather is who we're talking to. Now on TV, that's the stations we choose. So if we had previously, we're targeting this certain version of our ad with a female audience aged 45 plus, for example, right? So now let's, okay, that one's kind of saturated. Now how do we target males 45 plus or whatever it might be, depending on the product. So talking to the audience. Now on Facebook and Instagram, you can get much more laser dialed in on exact audiences, exact people, really, right? So on TV stations, it's types of people. It's, you know, it's an average of, maybe this station is on average women 45 plus, but you know, you and I might watch it too, right? We're in that mix. On Facebook, you can target only women within a certain age bracket, for example. And what we do is they have something called lookalike audiences, where if you know anyone who's familiar with Facebook is probably familiar with this to some extent. Now it's very focused. It's not just about age, but it's about people that are like the buyers of your product, right? They're very similar in certain psychographics, right? So they're now all of a sudden we can get this laser focused audience, and it just improves over time. And that's what we see ROIs or return on investment or profitability really go up over the course of a campaign, because we can laser focus and dial these in. And the last piece is the messaging, which we've talked about. So it's changing the video, it's changing the ad copy, it's really how you talk about it, maybe changing the website. But focusing on those three levers, you can further enhance your campaign or correct a campaign that might be going off course.
You know, and 90% of those things that you just spoke about, I mean, are things that can be changed fairly quickly. You know, and I don't want to say it's easy, I don't like that word, but because you're ready for it, it's digital. It can be changed. And the other part that I love is that testing these things, you know, from the early 2000s to now, it's so nice to be able to test ad copy, test ads, test different things so quickly and get feedback. I know that when I have an idea, I think it's the greatest idea in the world, I automatically think this is my market. And 9 times out of 10, I am totally wrong on who I think the market is.
And true. And, you know, and frankly, even with research, right? So research, I would say, puts us in the right direction, but we still want to fine tune that through actual results, through the actual launch. And it, what I love about the kind of new frontier of marketing, of really direct response marketing of the last several years, is it really has made this testing process faster, easier, and cheaper. You know, I think back to my Kraft Foods days. So my first true career in launching new products, we would spend, as I mentioned before, $2 to $3 million on any new product launch. But you also, the harder part is you wait, right? We did a campaign and on a new Honey Made line of snacks, or I launched part of the 100 calorie snack packs for Nabisco back in the day, as well as was part of Kraft Foods. And you'd wait, right? So you do all this work up front, a lot of market research, dollars in advertising, and you wait for months before you have any idea if it's working or not. What I loved about my transition into in the infomercial space, direct response TV, is now all of a sudden that period of a lot of money, right, but also a lot of time to prove out. Now we can put something on TV in a week when we have results back. And then we make tweaks and changes and go on air for another week on national TV and adjust that. But now that's changed. Now on Facebook and in Instagram specifically, we're still talking directly to the consumer, still marketing directly to them, but we get responses back in a day or immediately, right? We can change it every single day. We can do these split tests where we got two different websites with different offers, and you're getting these answers back much more quickly. So even for our bigger clients that are going to TV, because TV still works, right? TV infomercials are still the best way to scale a business and really drive retail. So a lot of our clients end up going there, but even those that have very deep pockets, we still start with the digital approach because we can test, tweak, change, modify, improve back and forth very, you know, almost constantly through the process, get it dialed in, and then go to TV. So we're saving a lot of time and a lot of money in the long term.
You know, that must be so much fun. And again, I know it's not a, you know, it's a work business and it's serious business, but to see those, whether your idea works or not, and being able to change that or change one word or change an ad and actually see it work so quickly, it must be just so much fun to say, okay, this is it. We hit it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you just blow it out.
It's exhilarating. So, as I mentioned before, I'm an inventor at heart. I'm just not a good inventor, right? I'm not an engineer. I don't know how to make products, right? But I that's my passion, right? So I share the passion with our clients that are inventors and entrepreneurs on helping them bring their products to market. So we really, you know, we only work with people we like and products we like, that we believe in. You know, there are good products we turn away just simply because we don't have the passion for it, because it's such an important part of what we do, right? But you're exactly right. It's a lot of fun because I share that passion. So when they have a success, I feel it too, right? It's my success. I mean, it's theirs, right? They own it, but I get to share a part of that and that emotional reaction with them, and it is so fun. And what I've loved to see is on the TV side of the business, you know, the infomercial side of the business. For years, it was maybe a 10% success rate as an industry, right? So ours was higher because we used this whole process, but it was tough. And even my Kraft Foods days, you'd spend $2 to $3 million, 10% success rate. Most products fail, right? It's just the nature of your products. What I love about this new frontier, this new landscape of digital marketing to launch a product is our internal success rate has gone up 10 times. So we have 10 times more success now than we did even just a few years ago with TV, even though we were successful compared to the industry before, but now it's things have changed. And I love that because I share that passion. So there are downs when a product doesn't work, right? It's frustrating. But now what I love about it is, as you mentioned, you can now dial it in. So even if the first week I'm kind of down and frustrated, like, what do we do to fix this? Well, there are things we can do and we can go out there and make tweaks and changes. Then week two or week three, it turns around. It becomes a success, a home run. It's so invigorating. It's absolutely exciting. And I love to share that excitement with the inventors and entrepreneurs we work with.
Yeah, I could tell, man. I mean, I could tell you're having fun doing it and being able to, as technology evolves, as the web evolves, having those weapons in your arsenal to just make things better. You don't have to be some supercomputer geek, obviously, but you just have to use those tools in the right way.
Agreed. Exactly. So it's understanding the process, dialing in the process in the right way. And again, we like to teach the process. We can't teach everything we do because it changes every day, all that kind of stuff, right? But the basics, so enough that people could try this on their own, et cetera. But we obviously, of course, we'd love to work with these people on their products. And we can walk them through the process, hold their hand through the process and teach them these nuances, but really help them to take advantage of them so they can have success with their business.
Yeah, enough to know for all you listeners, enough to know that you really don't want to do this on your own. And John's not saying that because, he wants you to try it or look into it. But if you want to be successful, you have to have a team. There's just no doubt about it. But, obviously know enough about it. And that's what I love about John. What you're doing is you're educating enough so that people can try certain things or try certain aspects and they can get a good idea. And at some point, if they come to you, you'll know that they're a little bit more educated and knowledgeable. It's easier to move them forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things we teach in a lot of the content we write is how to do these market research tests, right? So if they start off on their own, even just to see if it's a good idea, right? So if they want to start in that process and they come back like, hey, we got some good results on this, like now we want some help. Awesome, right? So and we might redo the market research because there's a way that we do it, right? Just to prepare the campaign. But it's enough to at least get that early indication of, hey, which of these fried products that I've got in my head should I work on, right? So it's a good focus to work on.
Yeah, yeah. So I just got a question come in from our studio, from our waiting room area, the conference room. We broadcast our show. Do most of the clients that come to you have product or a certain amount of inventory or just maybe a few hundred units or whatever? Do they need to have product or is it better to? Obviously, you can do dry tests or whatever, but what's the best way to do it?
Yeah, so most of the clients that we work with at least have product almost ready, at least, right? So our process takes typically 2 to 3 months. So we coach them that, okay, you want to have inventory at least 2 to 3 months away from today, right? And we do need, because we're shooting video, usually we need a physical sample that we can shoot a video with and prepare a website, take product photography, but you don't need tens of thousands of units of inventory. You can get away with a few hundred, depending on the price points and that kind of thing, but relatively small levels of inventory to start, right? Prove this out. Because even if you have deep pockets behind this, when we launch the campaign, you may find out that, man, I wish I would have added this feature to it. So the last thing you want is to have 10,000 units of something that you wish were a little bit better. So start off small. You can always get more inventory replenishment. And with direct response marketing, meaning you're marketing directly to the consumer, you can start and stop it. So if you hit a snag, like, hey, we really want to change this, you can turn off your marketing campaign and come back to it later on. So if you need to adjust. Now, that being said, we do, as you mentioned, there's dry testing, right? So it's kind of like Kickstarter or crowdfunding campaigns. You can do pre-order campaigns with a Shopify website, for example. So we have a client we are just brand new working with that it's very expensive to make the molds for their particular product. And their goal, ultimately, they want to get a license deal, but they want to prove the concept that there's sales behind us. They want to start that process. So what they're doing is we don't have any sample of the product. It's very expensive even to make a sample. So we're doing an animated video for them. Yeah. And it's a really cool product that solves an everyday problem. It's kind of confidential at this point, but when the story comes out, we'll certainly share with you and your audience. It's super cool, but we can show that in animation now and bring people to the site, collect pre-orders. So that's an option. I would say most of, 90% of the work we do, obviously you're selling, you've got inventory, you ship it out. With Shopify websites nowadays, some of our clients even start shipping on their own because you literally, the orders come in, you click a button, it prints out a thing, clap it on a box, and you're good to go. So it makes it really easy. Once you get good volumes, then you hire a fulfillment house, at least, a third-party logistics, they call it. They're inexpensive. It's not expensive to do, but that's down the road. So it's, you can start, a lot of this you can start very simply and easily on your own.
Yeah, I love, the Shopify platform. You're exactly right. I agree. It's a great platform to utilize. Like you said, not only just to start off, but I've seen some pretty large companies running on Shopify.
Yeah, absolutely. We have clients that are in tens of millions of dollars a year in revenue and still using a Shopify platform. There's pros and cons. It's not as flexible as some platforms, but it is something, an inventor, an entrepreneur can do on their own, right? They can make tweaks, adjustments, changes to it pretty relatively easy. You don't have to be a coder for it. So there's some limitations. But the other nice thing is so much of what we do is about data. So coming back from our TV days, you want to see, again, who's buying, what stations are working, all that kind of stuff. Now on Facebook and Instagram, we want to see what audience is buying, what ads working, et cetera. And when you have a good website, and Shopify is not the only platform that does this, but they're one of the best ones where you can connect them really successfully and effectively to Facebook and Instagram so that you're not losing that data. So for example, when you launch a product on Amazon, you lose all that because it's not your website, right? So and Amazon's a great tool. We use it for almost all our clients. We want to get there eventually, but to get learnings, it's a difficult platform to use for a new and different product, especially that's, people aren't searching for, is because you go to Amazon, no matter if we send them to Amazon from a Facebook ad, we don't know which ad they saw, who bought, all that kind of stuff. So with Shopify websites, you get all of that data, you get all those learnings. And then, some people are going to go over to Amazon. We kind of use it as a secondary vehicle in the very beginning because we want to get learnings, which we get on Shopify, and then have Amazon, for example, as a secondary platform. Because I'm a big Amazon shopper. When I see an ad, that's where I go first. There's a lot of people like me, right? So you want to have that availability, but you want to try to keep as many people as you can on the site itself. Again, purely for data in those early days, especially.
Yeah. It's a data-driven world. Like you said, you want that information. If you're trying to help your clients out, you want to have that information. So it's very super important. So we're running a little bit low on time. I know you have a book out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, so I wrote a book a few years ago, actually, called Sell on TV. So it's kind of one of the Bibles of direct response TV. And I wrote it in a fashion of education, really. So if TV is the route that you want to go, then it's a great book to get started, just to understand how it all works. And actually, you can get a free copy of it on our website. So if you go to harvestgrowth.com, it's Harvest, HARVEST, Growth, GROWTH.com. They're down at the bottom of our homepage. There's a link you can click and get a free copy. It's a PDF version of the Sell on TV book, or you can get it on Amazon and other platforms as well. But the intent of that book and really what it's done for us over the years is really just to give you, okay, here are the steps to follow if you want to launch an infomercial campaign, whether you hire us or not, but just make sure you avoid those stumbling blocks. And I've got another book in the works now on the digital platform because we're doing so much more on that. But a lot of those, even if digital is your way to go, it's a great book on videos, right? So I'm understanding what videos tenants to use as you launch a campaign to make sure that you're going to be successful as you go out. So yeah, thanks for the plug on the book, as it were. But again, it's free. So if you want to go to our website at harvestgrowth.com, you can download a free version.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I mentioned it too, because you do give it away. It just shows that you're really just pushing education. I mean, you want potential clients or people that are looking to do this to be successful. And that's what I love about it, is that, you're not saying, here, buy my book. I mean, obviously, if you want the actual version, you could buy it, but you're giving it away, which is awesome. It's crazy how, years ago when we first met, the camera seemed like it was the most important piece of equipment. Now it just seems like there's so many little nuances and little things that the camera is just such a small little piece, right?
It is. Yeah, it's funny. So we of course have, one of the expensive cameras, whatever, but you can get away with the quality of even a phone for some videos. If you're starting off with a product video, you can have good quality. There's some features you can't do. You can't change lighting as well. You can't do what we call creep zooms. And a lot of those things are going to make the video feel that much more premium, but the quality of the image is very similar, even from a iPhone. Or a Samsung Galaxy or that kind of thing. So it's, as a starting point, it's an okay place to be. And eventually move on to a more professional video. The more important part frankly, is the scripting, right? It's the messaging. It's how you're talking about the product, what you're saying. Those elements are becoming more important because it's on a level playing field on the actual visuals, right? And there's some certain tricks that we do to make it look even more premium, but the real value we provide for our clients, for example, is a script, because that makes all the difference in the world. The way you talk about this is what's going to make it go viral, make it convert, so people aren't just watching, but they're getting to your website, that they're interested in purchasing, that they're kind of pre-sold on the product before they even get there.
Yeah, that's cool, man. So we're closing up. And you don't have to name names. Is there, as you look back over your career, is there a certain shoot or commercial or something that you did with a client or something that just sticks out in your mind, whether it was bad or good? You don't have to name names, but is there something that, you know, you just remember that as being like something that sticks out?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A great question to bring up. I'll mention the names. We have a recent client that's in the last 6 months or so, a product called Camp Maid, CampMaid. And it's for anybody in the audience, it's a Dutch oven user. It's not for everybody, right? But if you're a camper, Dutch oven cooker, especially in the outdoors, but also works indoors, it's kind of like a Swiss Army knife of products for a Dutch oven. So they also sell Dutch ovens, but they're more about the tools that go with it, right? So for taking off lids, to turn your Dutch oven into a pizza oven, to a steamer, to a roaster, to a smoker, to a grill, all this kind of stuff. So you go to the website, you know, Camp Maid, if you want to learn more about the product itself. But the shoot was, it's very memorable because it, to this day, in 13 years of doing this, probably the most difficult shoot I've ever done. The client is fantastic. So I hope if they're listening to this, I'm, you know, totally upfront, but they're awesome to work with. I love them. Family owned. It's a father and daughter that run this business and they're awesome to work with. So the difficulty on this shoot is as you can imagine, you've got to now cook something, prepare it. It can take 45 minutes to get heated up. So you get that perfect steam shot, right? And we're doing that over and over and over again. I think 20 or 25 different recipes over the course of 2 days. So it was a lot of work to get that done. But it, you know, shoots can be hard to do them right, right? It's not as easy. You know, you look at a video and that video ended up being 2 minutes. Out of 2 days of work, plus a lot of beyond that even, right? But two primary days of shooting, 10 hours a day, 2 days solid to get 2 minutes of footage right at the end of the day. And it's working really well. They're selling on TV now. They're selling on Facebook and Instagram. So it's great to see their success and they're such good people and the product's fantastic. But to me, that stands out. It's a good example of it can be hard, this preparation phase of a business, getting things ready. But doing it right is so important, right? We could have gone out there with an iPhone and shot really quick videos on just, hey, here's the product. Here's what it looks like, you know, in, I don't know, 2 hours, right? And had a okay video, but it wouldn't have sold, right? So it was worth going through that extra effort. And that's my advice to every inventor, entrepreneur out there is spend some time on this upfront piece, right? Whether it's your marketing collateral or getting the product just right and dialed in is, you know, it doesn't have to take months or years, right? On whatever stage you're at. But be careful with it, right? Be studious with what you're doing and make sure you're doing each step of the process right. And if you need some help along the way with, you know, different vendors, like if you're a patent, we don't do anything with patents, right? So we always advise if, you know, you're getting a patent, make sure you work with somebody that knows what they're doing, right? It's going to make it the process shorter, but it's going to get it right too. And just every step of the way, make sure you either know what you're doing or are working with somebody that can help you. And it doesn't have to be crazy expensive. Each of these vendors, there are good and bad ones and there are expensive and inexpensive ones. And it's not always the expensive ones that are the best ones. So it's, you know, just look around and find out what's the right fit for you.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think it's great, John, that you say that. It's not easy. Professionals like yourself, it takes time to get the right shot. It takes time. You know, when people see the videos that you create, they're like, oh, John, make me a video. They think you're just going to, you know, whip it up. But, you know, it takes time because, you know, with today's high definition cameras, people expect this high level of quality when you're pushing a product like that. And I think that, like you said, if you're shooting with an iPhone, you can do it. But if you say to yourself, that's okay, then it's not good enough.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I'd love to be back on the show some other time and talk about, we have some tenets of video. I don't have time to go into today, but one of the tenets of doing a good video is credibility. And one of the pieces of credibility is that premium look and feel. So it doesn't look like, I always say, like, it's okay for your audience, you know, as an inventor, right? Your target market to know that you invented your product in a garage, but they don't want to feel like you're still making it in a garage, right? So they want to understand that what they're getting is high quality. And part of that's going to come out in how you present yourself with your video, with your website and other materials to really make sure it looks premium. It looks like something they can trust.
Yeah, awesome, man. And listen, this is usually a half hour show. We can keep going. I mean, this could be turned into a 3 hour show. I'd love for you to come back on. I think that as we spoke about before we started filming, this is super needed for not only an inventor, even business owners, for anyone who has a product, a service, an inventor who's looking, even if you're looking for investment money, creating a good video, explainer video, this is so important. And, you know, as I mentioned before we started, I said, this is going to be a great lead in to hopefully we'll do some more shows, because I tell you, John, this is great. I know all of our listeners right now are going, man, they're writing this down like crazy.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate it, as I mentioned, the time to be on the show. I love to teach. I love to educate and get the word out on how to launch products. I'm a huge believer in the power of innovation really to drive our country and our world, right? So if we can help inventors and entrepreneurs to be more successful, there's a million great ideas out there that are struggling along because they don't know how to bring them to us. They don't know how to bring them to market. So just getting that part of the process right, if we can help educate in any way. And I'll mention, if you go to our website, one of the great tools I'll offer, you know, get our free book, of course. But so go to harvestgrowth.com. There's a link on the bottom. You can connect and actually set an appointment up to speak with one of our product launch specialists. So a member of our team can actually answer specific questions. So, you know, the book is meant to be great to give you some direction, advice, et cetera. But if you've got specific questions on your product that we can just answer, you know, let us know. Go ahead and set up one of those free consultations. There's no cost for it, and they'll be glad to walk you through. I joined some of those calls, but we have our team that's very well-versed. We've all been here doing this for a long time and launched hundreds of products together, so they know what they're talking about as well. And you know, again, we'd love to help out wherever we can.
Well, we appreciate it. All of us, our listeners, myself, all of our team, we really appreciate any information, especially giving out the free consultations. Huge. I mean, that is taking time out of your guys' day, but it's beneficial for our listeners. They want to have questions. They don't just jump right into things. And, you know, let's face it, some of them are nervous to move forward. So it's great that you can do that for a free consultation. It's awesome. So we are going to close up the show today. And as I said, all of our listeners, go on out to harvestgrowth.com. All of this information will be available on our show notes page for Mr. John LeClair. I thank him for being on today. If I could ask our listeners, it would be awesome if you could go out to Google Play or iTunes, leave us a review, leave us an honest ranking. It would be great. And if you have a suggestion for a guest or a title for a show, please send it over to us. And again, I appreciate you listening today, and we'll catch you next time on Inventors Launchpad Network. You all take care.
I hope you enjoyed the latest episode of the Harvest Growth Podcast, where we seek to teach the latest strategies and trends to profitably grow your consumer product business. Be sure to check out harvestgrowthpodcast.com to see other episodes that we have recorded. And if you liked this episode and you want to learn more about how Harvest Growth can help your business, check out harvestgrowth.com, and you can book an appointment with one of our product marketing specialists right from our homepage. If you'd like to hear more shows like this, please be sure to subscribe to our show and leave us a review at iTunes or Google Play.